Blog Talk Radio.
Let the healing begin.
This show is not intended to take the place of orthodox medicine, but to work in conjunction with it. Therefore, if you need to seek medical advice, we advise that you do so. By participating in the Blog Talk Gold Ring Healing Fountain radio show, you are implying that you give permission to receive healing from Source, the Universe, all that is, God, or whatever name you call the Supreme Being, by whichever vibration it comes on. For example, Eastern energies facilitate Reiki, etc. Or Western therapies may utilize the Christ angelic energies. This program is non-denominational, so the healing modality will vary depending on the guest speaker. All healing comes from the same source. It may just come on a different vibration, rather like tuning in to a different radio station. We ask that you join us with an open heart and mind, with a clear head, i.e. not under the influence of drink or recreational drugs.
Everyone who lives on this earth has a mission to do.
All our healers are working from a place of love and light, with the highest good of mankind and Mother Earth uppermost in heart, thought, and deed. Please relax and enjoy this co-creation. This is your time. We are in the time of now.
Hello everyone and welcome to The Healing Fountain. I'm Janine Regan Sinclair and I'm your host today because Jean-Christie Drinkle is having a much needed break and hopefully she's sipping on a nice cold sangria somewhere in Spain as we speak. Our guest this evening is a very special person, spiritual healer and teacher like myself, Dr. Paul Haider. Now, Paul is a leading authority on health, prosperity and leadership. He is also a professional speaker and corporate consultant. He is a well-known keynote speaker and author of Relaxing to Success and 21 Ways to Live a Stress-Free Life in Only 21 Days. He has specialized degrees in psychology and stress management. He's a certified clinical hypnotherapist, a personal trainer, health and wellness consultant, a meditation instructor, Reiki practitioner, yoga master, and Qigong instructor. This week, he asks the question, is your life not going the way you want it to? He advises us on how to clear spiritual influences from our life that could be holding us back. He's also a spiritual teacher and a master herbalist, working to help people by giving of his time and love and advice. So don't be shy. Call in on 646-929-0461 and the code is 001 if you're outside of the UK. But before he comes into the show and helps us with blockages in our lives, we're going to play a piece of music by Russell Watson, Where My Heart Will Take Me. This was chosen by Paul, so I hope you enjoy.
It's been a long road getting from there to here.
been a long time, but my time is finally near. But I can feel a change in the wind right now. Nothing's my way, and the night's gonna hold me down no more. No, the night's gonna hold me down.
Great song. Okay, well, I am going to introduce Paul now. Hi, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Welcome
to
the Healing Fountain. Oh, it's good to be here. It's good to meet you. As you know, I'm standing in for Jan Christie. She's away sunning herself in Spain, but she was tired. She needed a break, so I'm really pleased for her. What's the weather like where you are? Is it hot for me?
It's been thunder and lightning and rain here all day.
Oh, wow.
It's been a little,
okay.
A little crazy.
We've been lucky in the UK. The sun's come out again the last few days, certainly in the Midlands and Warwickshire area anyway, so having a little bit of a late summer, which is always good news. Paul, we've got so much in common.
It's always a little wet in the tropics, you know. So.
Yeah. We've got so much we can talk about today. I hardly know where to start, but this is the first time I've met you and interviewed you. So I would like to know a bit about Paul Hayder and how you became, you know, this amazing person that you are, this healer and all of these other things, this martial arts and so on. So can you just let the listeners know a little bit about your background and how you came to be where you are now?
I was brought up in a little town in Woodland, California, and my father was a rice farmer. My father was from India, and my father was a person who believed in herbal medicine, and he was also a person of nature and was big into spirituality and God. I remember every time we left the house, he would say, "Remember God," and I just kind of grew with that in my life. And when I had a couple huge things come up in my life, like two divorces, I decided to change my life altogether and go on to do and learn herbalism completely and get into Qigong and yoga and change my life. And I've been happy ever since. I would not change it for anything now. It's the only way to go. And it's about teaching people about spirituality and how it can hold them back, and learning to help them have the life that they really want and to find that peace, contentment, and love that they deserve every day.
Mm. Yeah, the world is certainly a changing place at the moment, and all of this kind of stuff is much needed. It's do you have a preference of in your martial arts? Which one do you prefer one to the other? Or
I don't know much
about Qigong. You like Qigong. Can you just explain to us a little bit about what that is, please?
Qigong is somewhat like Tai Chi, but Qigong is movement, breathwork, and visualization all together. And very powerful. To give you an idea, is to stand shoulder width apart and in your hands, bring them together till you feel a ball, like a ball of light, and breathe in ball. You bring it down around your waist and bring it up to your chest as you breathe in, and breathe out as you bring it down to your abdomen and in just below your belly button. Breathe it in and breathe it out. You're visualizing, breathing, and movement at the same time. And it's very powerful. In fact, when I had terrible kidney disease one time, I couldn't walk across the street. And Qigong was the only thing that kept me going. It was that powerful for me.
Fantastic. So it worked it balances the energy systems in the body, the same as Tai Chi. I've done some Tai Chi myself, so I do know about Tai Chi. I really enjoyed it, actually.
It takes and puts the energy into every one of the chakras, and from the chakras, it goes out into the organ systems. And actually, I can visualize my adrenals while I'm doing my Qigong and actually see my adrenals move from black to white. And see different areas of my body, different organs of my body light up and become vibratized with this energy that helps to make us healthy and vital in life and have the energy that we need.
Yeah. It's we were going to talk about blockages today in people's lives, and I know that many of John's listeners are spiritually aware people, but just for those listeners that may be tuning in that don't know much about the chakra systems and the energy centers in the body and what a block is, you know, some people don't even know what the word block means in relation to healing. Can you just explain a little bit about that so that people that may not have heard of healing or this type of thing before have got an idea of what you mean by it?
Well, sometimes you can have an ancient ancestor that you never met 500 or 600 years ago, and they may be actually blocking at you every time that you try to move forward in your life. And I've had this happen to me. You have something going on, and you think, oh, this business is going to take off. You're going to make some money. You're going to become, you know, do this, this, and that. And all of a sudden, at the very last minute, boom, it's not working. And I think a lot of people have the same type of thing going on. In fact, when I do something called spiritual breath work, where actually people are breathing really deep, and they actually at first start to think they're going to get sick, and then they disappear. I see in my mind's eye all this different stuff in the other realm across the veil. And a lot of times I see these beings attached to these people. And I ask for them to leave. I command them to leave, actually. And there are certain things that people can do that they can use to move these basically ghosts out of their life and stop them from doing harm to them. You know, a lot of times we don't even know who these relatives are. We might be going back, you know, I'm connected to Genghis Khan way back, so who knows, he might be, have been the one, you know. He wasn't a very nice man.
I don't think he was, no, but, you know, who are we to judge?
You know, in India, they remember the last murder in their village, and that was like 400 years ago. So it goes back a long, long way with my lineage in my father's side. And my mom goes back to the Mayflower. So there's a lot of stuff going on there, too. So it could be anybody, anywhere. And a lot of these people have actually 1 in 9 has negative energy. If you ever looked at some of the recordings they do with white noise, they find that 1 in 9 of these entities or these ghosts that they connect with actually is a negative entity. And that's what you, just about what you probably would find out in the regular world and walking around. You'd find but most people are very good, loving, kind people, but there are those negative entities out there also.
Yeah.
And it's about teaching people what they can do to correct that, you know, and what they can do to protect themselves. And it just takes time, and it will happen. And I know that this is true for lots and lots of people, because I see a lot of people struggling, and there's no need for it because they have all the, you know, intuitive powers. They have all the talent and the charisma to do whatever they need to do. I think of one man that's sitting in my office here quite often, and this Albert a lot of times has things not go his way right at the last minute, and was able to look into his being and see that there was an ancient relative there trying to do him harm on a regular basis, and that's why nothing ever worked, period. And even though he has so many talents, this man has got more talent in his little finger than most of us have in our whole bodies. It's amazing. So these things can keep people from moving forward in life. And I dare say a lot of the listeners out there probably have this kind of thing going on. But what can we do to keep that from happening? Well, there's two different things. One is to say the name of God over and over and over again. Whatever you were born into, what kind of religion or spirituality or whatever it is, if it was Jesus, say, you know, Jesus, it's got to be something other than God, or it's got to, that's too, you know, it's not specific enough. So it has to be something like Buddha, Christ, Muhammad, you know, something like that that would be very powerful. Also, another one is, and the Hindu religion is to say another name of God, which is Sri Gurudev Datta. That's S-T-R-E-E, Guru, Dev, S-G-U-R-U-D-E-V, and Datta, D-A-T-T-A. And these things have to be said over and over again, thousands upon thousands of times. And this means you're not going to do it by tomorrow. It's not going to happen by tomorrow. But in 3 or 4 months, you will start to see a difference. I've even had people who had skin disease, and I'm a herbalist. I'm a master herbalist, you know. I mean, I give them formulas and herbs and different things to, you know, maybe they have psoriasis on their arms, and nothing works. Absolutely nothing works. So I start asking them about their lineage and start talking to them about, you know, if they have anything going on in the background, and I start looking at who they are in their aura, and I say, look at this. This is interesting. And I have them start doing the same thing, saying the name of God over and over again, or the Sri Guru Dev Datta. All of a sudden, in about 3 or 4 months, all of a sudden, within a week, their psoriasis disappears. And there's no rational, pun on words, explanation for it, you know, as to why that happened. And another man that they had this weird skin pattern all over his body ever since he was a kid, and lots of allergies. And I tried everything, you know, diet, herbs, exercise, you name it, you know, hydrotherapy, the whole thing. And I finally said, there's got to be something else going on here. So I had him start saying Sri Guru Dev Datta. And within 4 months, he had a little break, and that skin started to change. And after that, within another month, another 30 days, his skin completely cleared up, and it was totally different. And he was amazed. But it's it's one of those things that, you know, this is going to work. I know it's going to work. And you just have to have a lot of faith to go with it also. And, you know, everything else didn't work at all. And then all of a sudden, boom, this happens and this works. And what is it? This person had been to every doctor out there, every dermatologist out there since he was a little kid, you know, and none of it worked for him. So sometimes it would work for a week or 2 weeks, maybe even a month, but it would always, always come back. And that's been a few years now, and it's never come back. So there was something else going on there in the spiritual realm that doctors didn't have any ability to change in any way, shape, or form. So I think it's important that we look and see what's going on in our lives as far as possibilities of ancient relatives that are holding us back. It may be in other lives also. It may be in a past life, you something else. I know in one of my past lives, I was a conquistador, you know, and they weren't nice guys either. So it could be from other life also, you know. And yeah. So we also have these other lives that have these entities that are there that could hold us back in this life. And it's important that we connect to this and start to understand it. There's more under heaven and earth than we really understand. You know, it's all a very powerful mixture. And also, to understand and start looking at these divine particles that are starting to show up in the last 2 or 3 years around people. And I think this is very important. I started to see that about a year and a half ago. I noticed my hand, and there was some sparkles on it, and it was little red sparkle and green and purple and gold. And I, oh, that's no big deal. And I kind of went on, and then I started seeing them on books and inside books and all over the place. And then at night, when I was laying in bed in the dark, I would see these lips of light and different colors showing up. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. And then I started delving into it a little more, and these are actually particles of coalescence of God showing up and telling us certain things. You know, like there are certain colors that mean particular things. And blue is like blessings, and it means goodness. And red means like storms and earthquakes, and yellow means health problems. Also, it can mean things like healing also. Dark is influences that could be dangerous. And black or yellow means health effects or psychic attacks. you see it around a person, that means stay away from that person at least for 3 months because they have something psychically going on with them. And so I think I find this very interesting. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm. So I find this all very interesting, and we need to take that into our being and our life more, and I think a lot of people don't. And we have powerful influences connecting to us and changing us, and we need to look at what those spiritual influences are. So we look at our food. You know, I teach herbalism, and I had 40 years. And I went to doctors and did all kinds of things. Took herbs and all that stuff was just treating the symptoms. And I finally said, there's got to be something more. So I went to, and I became a particular type of vegan where I eliminated a lot of things from my diet. And within 3 weeks, all my arthritis disappeared. So a lot of times we have to eliminate something from our life in order to gain something in our lives, which is even better. And I think that's very powerfully important because a lot of people, we just keep adding things. We add things, but we forget about subtracting things from our life. And today also with lots of toxins, we have 80,000 toxins in our bodies. It's very terrible, all these chemicals that we are eating and processed food and in our water, in our air, and all kinds of things. And we need to eliminate those in order to regain our health. And also we need to eliminate things, but there also is the need to add spirituality into our life, you know, and have rituals that we do. Like for me is doing prayer every morning, doing meditation for an hour, doing my meditative walk and doing my yoga and qigong. I think this is all important. Yeah. I get up at 5 o'clock, but actually nobody can have me before 9 o'clock because it's my time, you know. It's my time. Nobody else gets that. And so it's important that we do these types of things because there is a lot of spiritual influence going on in the world, especially right now. Wow, there's so much stuff going on. And we're actually moving from the area of Kali Yuga up into, which is the Iron Age in astrology, into the Bronze Age. And we're going to be moving with that no matter what. We'll be moving into a better age with more love. And that love is very important. And no matter what some of the evil influences in the world try to do, and they will try to do their best to try to keep that from happening. They can't. It will happen no matter what. It will happen. And I know that will happen. And because the energy of the sun is moving around that 24,000-year cycle, and it can't help but have that change in everything, in our psyche and our bodies and the planet itself and the whole solar system and on out into the universe. So they are powerless. They know they are powerless, but at the same time, they'll go out kicking, you know what I mean?
Nobody likes to give up their power easily, do they? Let's just take a break and have a bit of music here, Paul, and then we'll come back because there's a few questions that I've got to ask you myself. So let's just have a little bit of music. We've got some angel music here, and then we'll come back and speak to Paul shortly.
Okay.
Thank you. we call upon the angel warriors of light, the archangels Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, and Azrael, the ascended masters, the overlighted ones, the Christed extraplanetary and extra-dimensional beings, the inner plane ascension teams, all the light workers of the universe, calling all angels, calling all light beings. We ask to be encircled in an impenetrable blanket of pure white light, holding as a barrier against any energies that are not of the highest order, and serving as an ascension field of light emanating directly from Source. Let us be filled with the food of all souls, that the light be anchored within our beings and into the Earth, the Great Mother. Let any energies that are not of the highest intention be transmuted or carried away as is appropriate to their evolutionary pace. Let that brilliance permeate every space, filling the heart, streaming through our divine beings. And let us be grateful for all that is perfect in the universe.
Dearest Way Showers, I would like to ask you to take a deep breath and focus on your connection with our Mother Earth. Become aware of the fact that you're in touch with her, your feet lightly touching her, and become aware of the fact that many feet are touching her right now in all countries all over the world. Close your eyes and visualize this with me. We are all standing on her, holding each other's hands. We surround her like a giant wheel with spokes of light coming from our hearts together into the center space that lies deep within our grandmother Earth. As we see her crystal heart and as we take this deep breath again, we feel the beating of our heart through our bodies, and we all start to slightly move on the melody of her heartbeat as one heart. We feel this energy reaching our heart centers, and our hearts feel so warm, they're overflowing with love, and the energy you can imagine as the purest light flows to the center of the earth. And we become aware of our connection again. And we know we are all related. Mitakoye Oyasin. When the energy reaches our eyes, we feel our heads lifting a tiny bit up, and we see our Father Sky. And when we see beyond Father Sky, we see a giant book floating in space. On the cover of the book is written, Book of Healing Requests. And the book opens. We can write down all names we would like in that book. But the first name you may write down in grace is your own name. Please go ahead and write it in there. Right now, you are a receiver of healing energy, and you may direct this energy to any human being, animal, or plant you want by writing down the names in the book. You may write them down underneath the healing fountain list that is already in there. I'll give you a little bit of time to write the names down. Please go ahead now. And when all names are written in the book, we see that the book closes and drops slightly down into the center of Mother Earth. Thank you, Mother Earth, for all the love that you give. Feel the gratitude and sit down very comfortable and be surrounded by this energy. And listen to a beautiful meditation from our special guest. Thank you very much.
Hello, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
That was your cue to share a meditation with us, if you've got one to do this week. Is that okay with you?
Sure. Put me on. I'll make it up.
Yeah, just go with the flow.
All right. Just start now?
Uh-huh.
Let everybody close their eyes and... Take a deep breath, and I want you to envision your body. I want you to see your body as the outlines of your visual vitality of everything inside of you and outside of you. And see the vibrance of everything around you. See the aura around you, the different colors around you. Allow yourself to know in a deep way that you control all of these different colors that are around you. And in that, everything that you are is not separate from me, but you are connected to all the planets, the solar system, and the universe, and that you are totally one with everything. And allow yourself to reach into your heart and pull out the color that it is and look in your hands and see what color that is. And is it a color that you want it to be? Is it white, which means pure bliss? Is it red, which means anger? Or is it another color, like black, that means depression and sadness? Now you are able to change this color in your mind's eye, and you can change what you're holding in your hand, and you can turn that into the white that you long to have, to be one with God, the essence of that which is everything. And then turn that into even gold, which surrounds the angel, which surrounds everything and all the known planet of this earth and heals everything from the roots up and from our inner being through all the meridians out. And allow yourself to see that, become one with yourself as you slowly bring that light back into your heart and feel it connect with you. Allow it to heal your body. Allow it to heal your mind. And allow it to heal your spirit. You are that light. You have always been that light. You are not this body. You are the essence of the one that you are connected to and always have been and always will be, no matter what life you are living.
Thanks, Paul. That's lovely. Now, getting back to the conversation we were having earlier, there were some questions that I wanted to pose to you. Something interesting happened recently with my own mother. She's 90 years old now, and she'd been treated for diabetes for 15 years, it must be. And her blood sugar's dropped so low that she was not with us. She was really distant, so my brother had to call an ambulance, and they took her into hospital. And they lowered her insulin and sent her home. And then within 24 hours, her blood sugar dropped really low again, so they had to take her back into hospital. Obviously, because of her age, they were concerned, and they decided to stop giving her insulin altogether and kept her in for 3 or 4 days to see how she coped, and she didn't need it. Now, we're just completely, you know, dumbstruck how somebody who's been diabetic for 15 years can suddenly no longer be diabetic. And it wasn't until you mentioned earlier about the food the penny dropped with me, because my brother is vegan, and since the last 5 years, he's been cooking food for my mum. She hasn't been able to do it herself because he still lives there, and it must be because of what you were saying. She's been eating a virtually vegan diet for the last 5 years. And it's created this change in her body. Is that possible? Do you think that would be the possible explanation? I never really thought about it until you mentioned it earlier.
Actually, there's a good video on YouTube called Simply Raw, Reversing Diabetes in 30 Days. And Dr. Kuzin, he actually puts people on a raw diet of totally vegan. And within 30 days, these people who had diabetes all of a sudden became totally cured of their diabetes. And one man had a sugar level of 1,200. I don't know how he was alive, tell you the truth. And he was a type 1 diabetes, which they say there's nothing they can do about. Well, actually, there is something we can do about, because he walked away being cured. So, no, we are what we eat. There's no doubt about that. I have lots of people who have actually taken and changed their diet. I have a diet called the Whole Foods Plant-Based Diet and Lifestyle. And I've had a lot of people who had diabetes, were giving themselves insulin. I have one man just the other day. He texted me and he said, "I want to give you a hug online, because now I'm not taking insulin. I'm 100 pounds lighter, and I feel great." And he was also talking about the fact that, you know, his cancer is going into remission. So we are what we eat. There's no doubt about it. And doctors, regular allopathic Western doctors, don't even think about diet. They get one course, during their whole medical training in nutrition. So it's really not what they are trained in. They are trained in giving people some drug of some kind, and that's it. I'm really more of the person who is like Dr. Gerson, to they treat us to Gerson clinics, which totally was just diet, and they have amazing turnarounds. In fact, the melanoma cure rate is exactly the same as they give with regular allopathic medicine. And in fact, Dr. Gerson took 500 people who had incurable tuberculosis and cured 496 of them. So just using diet, we can change everything. In fact, I have a man in India with cancer, and he has gone on my diet, and he went to have his blood work done in India, and they said, "What's going on with you? You're getting better. You're not taking the chemo. This is not possible." What we eat and how we eat, and doing a lot of juicing and a lot of green juices, and eating a lot of raw, which is important. You know, our body sees raw as a natural element that goes into our body, whereas when we cook food, we have a white blood cell attack of that nutrition that's coming into our body. It sees it as a foreign invader. And so a lot of people actually eat nothing but cooked food, and they're really hurting themselves because there's no live enzymes in cooked food, and there's 75% of the nutrition that's lost in cooked food. So I highly recommend that a lot of people eat at least 75% to 80% raw. I look at it this way: eat breakfast, snack, and lunch, and in the afternoon snacks, and as all raw. And then have something warm in the evening if you like. But
yeah. The other thing is it needs to be organic as well, though, doesn't it? This is important. People think that they can just go and buy raw vegetables off the shelf. If they've been treated with chemicals, they're no good.
You got to have organic. We have all these pesticides, herbicides, and we have phosphates and fertilizers in our foods and much more. And all these things are killing us. And when we have the GMOs, which are terrible also, they are also causing problems. In fact, the GMOs came out about the time that I started with my kidney disease. And I attributed my kidney disease that I had to the GMOs. There's no doubt about it. So I think it's really important that we go to organic and we start eliminating things from our life, processed food, chemicals. You know, look at the list of ingredients on the package. You know, very simple something, and it should have three ingredients. Why does it have 50? And most of them I can't pronounce.
If you can't pronounce it, it's definitely not good for you.
You know, like you said, if you can't pronounce it, it's not good for you. There's no doubt about that. And we need to go back to eating simply and good food, which is all organic, and start taking and eliminating the artificial sweeteners, the artificial colors, the preservatives, you know. Food has a shelf life of its own. It comes in its own container. You know, a tomato has a red covering on it, and, you know, it's supposed to last a few days. You know, and if we make it so it lasts 4 months or 5 months, there's something wrong here. We need to go back to living simply. And I think that basically everything in life should be that way. You know, we got to go back to a simpler way of being. We're running out of all these fuels, and we need to start using solar, and we start using electric cars, and treating the planet right. And instead of going with GMOs and trying to force our way through life, I think it's not good. When we go with GMOs, we're eliminating all the biodiversity that we have. If we end up with some kind of fungus or some kind of virus that takes on those plants and those animals, basically they're gone, and we don't have any biodiversity left. So it's really important that we go back to the beginning, the basics of life. I could really see myself living in a cabin up in the middle of nowhere with a big garden, and growing my organic vegetables and be totally happy, to tell you the truth. I have a huge garden, organic garden myself. I grow bananas and papaya. And, I have tulsi herbs, and I have everything, all kinds of stuff, and it's all totally organic. And I think it's important that we get in touch with nature again, you know.
Can you cook?
Yeah.
Do you cook the food as well? I'm just curious.
I cook some food. You know, I took a lot of classes at the Culinary Institute of San Francisco, and I'm kind of a chef. But I try to eat raw as much as possible. That doesn't mean it's not great tasting. You know, you can make sauces and things that go on your raw food, and you can make raw bread, and it can taste wonderful. There's no doubt about it. I do cook. My wife likes hot meals in the evening. There's no doubt about that. I wouldn't be together with her otherwise.
That's good. Well, you know, poor one, Paul. It's good that you can cook the food that you're growing. And I was just thinking about the satisfaction that you must get from it when you've grown it and then you can, you know, cook it as well. Because from what I gather, when you cook vegetables, they stay alive for, is it 7 hours or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Vibrational frequency, they're still alive for about 7 hours.
If you do curly in photography, you see the life essence on the outside of the leaf. So like if I have my climbing spinach out there and take a leaf and you take that curly in photography image, it's there. And in 3 or 4 days, it's gone. It's not there anymore.
Yeah.
It's dead food. And the same thing happens when you cook it, basically. You will get some calories, we'll get some protein on the average, but you're not going to get as much in the way of that life force which we all need. And I think it's also important that we get out in nature. You know, there's a great book called The Last Child in the Forest, and it's all about nature deprivation. I think most kids, a lot of kids, you know, live in a big city, don't even know where milk comes from, you know. And I think that's really sad. I grew up on a farm, you know, and we had 50,000 acres to run around on.
Wow.
That was my dad's rice farming for this huge company. And so we had a lot of space. And so it was important. We live in San Juan, Puerto Rico. So I get a little deprivation once in a while myself, so I go up to the El Yunque rainforest and sit there in my car or just sit by the creek and just do nothing. Just kind of soak it up. And I think also with our cell phones and all the technology now we have, our minds get so scattered, and there's that energy which is sucking us dry of all the vital energy. And we need to get away from that. And when you get up somewhere like in the rainforest area there or anywhere out in nature, you get away from all that vibe, and you start to rebuild your natural energy deep down inside.
And I was talking to my friend about this the other day, about how when we were young, we used to play a lot of family games, you know, where we'd have packs of cards and all the family would gather around, we'd play cards and we'd play board games. And I was lucky that, you know, some of the family were musicians, and, you know, if we went to their place, the family would take it in turns to sing. And it didn't really matter if you weren't brilliant singers, you know, I wasn't, but I still had a go. And I really look back on those days with such, you know, warm feeling inside. Whereas now, somebody's on the TV, somebody else is on the computer, kids, they won't put their mobile phones down or their iPads. And it's kind of breaking the fabric of the family unit up into different segments, and they're just all being polluted by these energies all over the place. And it's so sad, really. They don't realize what they're missing out on. They're missing out on that laughter and that, you know, that joy and that fun. And just the innocence that we had when we were younger. I'm giving my age away now, obviously. But there wasn't. I didn't have a computer when I was a kid. You know, my parents didn't have a car, so you know, we had we had bikes and we had to make our own way around. It's all different now.
I remember a while back we took a month and went to Italy, and we had a little place that had a loft, and basically there's no TV channels there, so there's nothing to do there except read and maybe go into one of the towns and buy, you know, your food in one of the big open markets, and every day you go in and do that, and you enjoy your surroundings, and you enjoy the beautiful white horses that they had out there, and enjoy being with the flowers they had outside, and so it's just a rejuvenation of the soul, not just this stuff where we click a button and we try to pull ourselves up with something which is really doesn't do anything. And it was really wonderful to take that month and be in Italy. And the people were much more relaxed there, you know. And I found that even the Cabrianari would come into some little place and have a glass of champagne, and then get back in their car and they go. And it's a very, very different life than what we have in America, that's for sure. And I really think it's really important that we go back to the basics. The basics are, you know, there for us, but we keep embracing technology, and I don't think that's the answer. We can use some technology to our good, but we keep thinking that it's the all in my everything, you know, and it's not. I know a lady who's never really read a newspaper in the last 40 years. So I think it's, and she's one of the most well-informed and one of the people who get out into the community and do more for the community than anybody else I know in that area. So it has nothing to do with, you know, I'm not going to have the news, I'm not going to know that much or anything. No, if you need to know it, somebody's going to tell you it, first of all. And it's about taking action instead of just sitting back and soaking up knowledge. And she uses a lot of her own intuitive wisdom, which is, I think we're losing. I really do. We're losing a lot of our intuition, and we don't act on our intuition. So a lot of that creates negative consequences in our lives. I think Norman Vincent Peale said, you know, it was better to act than not to act. Even if you acted and it didn't work out, you can always change it. And if it doesn't work out at all, you can change your plan of attack. So I think it's really important just to go out and take action no matter what. And he also said, you know, when you start your day, think of it this way. I'm going to be peaceful, content, and have a blessed day. And that will move you forward to exactly what you want in your life. If you focus on those aspects, and you will be successful. And I think that's the simplicity of it all. We have to change our busy lives and focus on, I think, spirituality a lot more, and focus on the simple things, even a greater amount than what we do today. And because I think we've lost the simple things altogether. And focus on God is wonderful. You know, I wrote a little piece here the other day. It talked about the fact that if you want love, then love God. If you want peace, then love God. If you want to find contentment, love God. If you want to find bliss, love God. You know, it's all there. All we have to do is connect. And those are the important things in life, you know. And from there we can branch out to help other people. Don't worry so much about the material money and everything. It'll come. As I had these great changes in my life happen, I decided to help people, and I do everything for free. I don't make a cent on anything other than my books and my CDs, but my consults are free, and my herbal consults are free, and all my spiritual consults are free, and I do it because I want to make a difference in my life, and I figure in the next life around, it'll be good.
Yeah,
you know, because it's when I see somebody else, I see God. You know, that's all there is to it. There goes God. There goes God. It's kind of like, you know, seeing Buddha in everybody. You know, seeing Jesus in everybody. Buddha. You know.
Well, people would certainly treat everybody differently if they did that, wouldn't they? If they seen that everybody, if they treated everybody as if they were God, the world would be a much nicer place, definitely.
Well,
Paul, I forgot
we wouldn't
to ask
be where
you
we're
about
at
your
right
books.
Now.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about your books, and we're chatting away, and time is just going, I feel like we're in a time warp, and it's going really quickly, particularly the 21 Ways to Live a Stress-Free Life in Only 21 Days, because I don't know if you know, I'm the creator of the 21-Day Mind Detox, which is detoxing the subconscious of all sorts of things, from disease to just negative belief systems and fears and phobias. So can you just tell us a little bit about this 21 ways in 21 days? What's that all about?
These are
apart
simple
the
little
obvious
things that everybody already knows. You know, everything's already been talked about. But I'm reminding people of what they need to do to de-stress their life and find the center, their own God, within them, in their heart, that reminds them to be simplistic and find their place of peace. And these are 21 separate things you do for 21 days, one day after another. And at that point, you will find your detoxing of all the stress in your life. If you follow this for the rest of your life, it will make a huge difference. You know, my dad died of a stress heart attack at 57. Nobody needs to go there. It's not good. And I find myself on the same plane. I was actually, after my dad died, I felt like it was somebody standing on my chest. And I went to have a treadmill test. I did the treadmill test, and the cardiologist said, well, you're stronger than and an ox, you're stronger than I am, but you got a little stress going on. And that's when I decided to change my life. I wasn't going to go down the same path my father did. And so we have to make a decision at what's important. And that also led me into teaching stress management and also my first book, which is Relax Into Success, and it's taking care of the mind, the body, the spirit, the relationships, the social life, the financial life, and your core beliefs, and balancing all those aspects. You know, if you weigh 350 pounds, you know, then you probably have a love in your life, and then you can't get a job, and all these things like a domino effect happen, and you have a lot of stress, and it eventually you have a heart attack, and you lose everything. And I wrote that book for my father, really. Because I think it's important that nobody go down that same road, and nobody really does have to. And I'm a big supporter of meditation. I meditate for an hour in the morning, hour in the evening. And I love TM. I also love the Vipassana. And I think everybody should go do a 10-day Vipassana retreat. They're free. Even the food and the lodging are free. If you look up the Vipassana online, you'll find them, and they give them on a regular basis all over the country and all around the world. And I tell you, about the fourth or fifth day, you'll have a breakthrough of something in your life, and you'll come out of there a different person. You will walk away different, and it's powerful. So I'm a huge supporter of people who support and advocate meditation. It will change your life. There's probably not less than 2 days a year that I don't do meditation because of something. Which usually I do at 365, and it's changed my life. I used to be a very depressed man, and when I started meditation, it all lifted away. And it's important. It will change your life. It'll change everything. And I haven't been so depressed since. And my mom's depressed. My dad was depressed. My brother's depressed.
So it's in your ancestral lineage then.
And I'm outside that lineage now. And I think that anybody who has just lived life and breathed should be doing meditation. I find that all these soldiers coming back from the Gulf and different places, they have so much post-traumatic stress disorders and counseling and going to psychiatrists, and drugs don't do a thing for them. In fact, my sister-in-law is a counselor for the Army, and she's a psychologist, and they can't do a thing. The only thing that helps is TM, Transcendental Meditation. And it's kept these guys from shooting themselves and hurting themselves. And they, you know, people like Russell Brand has also found that this has a spiritual awakening for them, you know. And that's powerful, too. And I think it's really important that we look inside. We're always looking outside for happiness, but we never look inside for happiness and joy, and where it really resides deep down inside. And when we start looking there, nobody can take that away from us. It's there permanently. And so once we touch that and know it's there, we can never go back, because we know that no matter what they take away from me, they can't take that away from me. And that's powerful. It's really powerful. Now, I've sent so many people to do Vipassana retreats, and they walk out different people. So I highly recommend it. It doesn't cost you anything except to get to it. And because they have vegetarian meals, and you have a place to sleep, and you're doing 6 to 8 hours of meditation a day, and doing that much meditation per day, something breaks open. No, they even use it in prison, and there's some great YouTube videos about a prison in India, which started using Vipassana, and they used to have people riots, and they had people hurting each other, and fights, and all kinds of stuff, and people, you know, causing problems, and once they started doing this on a regular basis, that all quieted down. And there's a jail in Seattle, which also has started using Vipassana, and that has changed the whole system there also. There's a prison in Alabama where they had some of the most hardened criminals there, and they took, I think it was 40 people, and 38 of them stuck with it, and every one of them has come back and said, this has changed my life. I am totally different now. And some of these guys will even take a detail in the middle of the night, like at 3 o'clock in the morning, in order to have total silence so they can do their meditation. And it speaks well. Some of these guys have even broke open, and some of these guys have never cried in all their lives, you know. And because of that, they've never really connected with their own selves. And then when they finally get to who they are deep down inside, they say, man, I've made some huge mistakes in my life. And they finally open up and connect to the truth that's deep down in there. And it changes everything. So,
It does. It's fantastic stuff. I do it every morning myself. It's it'd be really strange not to. It's like cleaning my teeth now. It's morning meditation. It's important stuff. Okay, Paul, I'm just going to let people know about where they can find your books and things. So if you just share with them your website, and I know you've got a lot of CDs and DVDs on there as well. There's lots of amazing stuff for people to go and have a look at. So if you let them know your website.
PaulHaider.com, www.PaulHaider.com, PaulHaider.com, and you'll find everything there, and also a link to my daily blog, which is I write 3 articles every day, and I have over 3,000 articles that you can peruse. And also, if you go to any one of those articles, you can be able to get a hold of me. My cell phone number is 831-869-9119, 831-869-9119. I'm in Puerto Rico on Eastern time zone, and feel free to call me Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and I'll be willing to help you in any way, shape, or form. My email is drpaulhader@gmail.com. That's drpaulhader@gmail.com. And if you have some herbal question, or you have some kind of condition going on, I'm a master herbalist, so I'd love to help you. If you have some kind of spiritual question, I'll help you in that area also. Whatever I can help you with. I had a man just 2 days ago. He asked me about changing his vocation, and he was wondering, you know, if I would change, do what I do now if I had a second chance to go back and do it all over again. Well, I said, of course, I would. But we're hesitant about that kind of thing. So feel free to contact me. Feel free to go to my website. I'm on Facebook under Dr. Paul Hader, and also on at Paul Hader. And I also have a spiritual page called the Shambhala Spiritual Transformation Institute and on Facebook. So feel free to connect with me from Facebook or any of these ways. And it is my great honor to be able to connect with you and maybe be of some help in some way. It's really not me. It's God working through me. And I'm just a humble instrument, and that's all.
Wonderful. Thanks very much, Paul. Thanks very much for joining me on the Healing Fountain. I really enjoyed having a chat with you. It's been very calm energy as well that's flowing. So hopefully our listeners at home can feel that, and they're all feeling nicely chilled and relaxed now. So just thanking everybody for listening in, and thank you to the guides and angels and the energies that have joined us this evening. And next week, Jan will be back from Spain, sporting a nice suntan, I hope, and feeling very refreshed, and it'd be business as usual. But in the meantime, I'm going to play us out with a couple of songs, one by Russell Wilson called I Believe, and then we may listen to John Lennon's Imagine. Thanks very much. Bye.
Bye.
to care for.